Beloved congregation of the Lord, in the Old Testament already, God's people sang often of Christ's ascension. Psalm 24, Psalm 47, Psalm 68 all have to do with the ascension of the Lord Jesus. And yet in the New Testament, in the gospel records, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's only a few words about Christ's ascension. All four of them wrote lots about Christ's suffering and death. But here there's only a few words. That doesn't mean that it's less important, because the ascension is a continuation of Christ's exaltation. In the 40 days after his resurrection, he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God with his disciples. Before his passion, he said to his disciples, "I am going to my Father and your Father." His work here on earth was finished. So the ascension proclaims exaltation, and it has great meaning for heaven and for earth and for hell. It's great meaning for the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Great meaning for the church here on earth. We'll hear a little of that this evening. And in his exaltation, Christ overcame the devil and hell. "To me is given all power in heaven and on earth," he says in Matthew 28. And in that gift, his authority is evident. He is the supreme ruler of the universe. All power, all authority is his now. Well, Luke speaks the most inspired words about the ascension of our Lord Jesus. And that's where we're going to turn this evening. Luke 24, verses 50 to 53. Luke 24, beginning at verse 50. It says, God's word. "And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God." Our theme this evening is Christ's ascension. And first we want to see its facts, and then its results. So the facts of the ascension and the results of the ascension. We want to focus specifically on the fact that he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was doing that, he was parted from them. So Jesus' ascension took place close to a little village called Bethany, the place where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived, on the east slope of the Mount of Olives. Matthew tells us that the disciples went to a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And our text says he led them out. And those are four simple little words. He led them out. The Lord Jesus goes before his disciples. He goes before his children. He is their guide and their teacher. With his word and his spirit, he leads his church. That still happens today too. Jesus guides and he leads his church, and we follow him. He governs the whole universe for the benefit of his church. His name is Savior, Redeemer. There's nothing which is not in his counsel. Everything is in his hands. Something, maybe you've sang that before. He has the whole world in his hands, and it's true of Christ. All power, all authority is given to him. His work continues, and his disciples still follow him, trusting and obeying him. He led them out as far as to Bethany, and Jesus' leading work goes on. You know, when he was born in Bethlehem, he went his way where the Father led him. It was always the way of his Father. And his Father led him even to the cross. His Father's way led to the point that Christ died and was buried. And the third day he rose again. And after 40 days, he ascended into heaven. But he's still working. He hasn't stopped working. Jesus is always concerned about his church. His church must and will continue to prosper in his hands. In his deep humiliation, he earned salvation. He paid the price for salvation with his precious blood. And in his exaltation, he applies salvation. All of salvation is in the hand of Christ, and only in his. He earns it. He applies it. Jesus led them then. He leads his church now. And that's the hope for the future of the church. His work on earth was finished. He'd foretold many times. He even said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Christ will go to heaven to continue his work. And from heaven, he works to gather his church. He will lead them in his way. And that is so rich for us, the church, even in the year of our Lord, 2021. Ascension Day is always on a Thursday, a regular work day for us. And yet it is a feast day for the church, for all Christians. On Ascension Day, we see the Lord Jesus Christ departing from this world, entering into his glory. And that brings us great comfort that he ascended into heaven, especially in this time, the time in which we live, where there's so many somber forebodings of the church and of Christianity. The church is mocked. The church is not expected to survive. And you know, if we look only at circumstances, if we only look in our own hearts, if we only look in the church, if we see nothing else but what happens in our hearts and in the church and in the world, we can become discouraged and afraid. And we can begin to think there's no future for the church. But beloved, our future is not in our own hands. Our future is in the hands of the resurrected and ascended Lord Jesus Christ. He led them out. And he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. Think what that means. Christ lifts up his hands. He blesses his church. That means the church is beneath his blessing hands. And that means the church is not headed for certain disaster under the blessed hands of the Lord Jesus. Before he ascended, he blessed them because he is the true high priest. The Old Testament high priest's work was to go into the Holy of Holies with the blood of bulls and goats. And when he finished this work, he came out and he blessed the people. And so Christ, before his ascension, shows himself to be the only high priest. He blessed them. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. After he finished his work on the cross, after he paid the price, after he emptied the cup of God's wrath, after he rose from the dead, and then and only then he blessed them on the ground of his precious blood, on the basis of his righteousness. Do you see this evening Jesus? By faith and his nail-pierced hands. That's what the disciples saw. When he lifted up his hands, they saw the holes in his hands. Those hands were lifted up. They're filled with rich gifts for men. He blessed them. What a wonder to read that in the Bible. He blessed them. And we have that same rich symbolism every Lord's Day, don't we? We leave this place. The Lord bless you and keep you and give you peace. And we don't read that Jesus lowered his hand and stopped blessing them. For as long as they could see, his hands were still lifted, and he was blessing them. And in heaven, he blesses his church continually. He says, lo, I am with you always. Unto the end of the age, he shows himself to be faithful. Christ is above his church. We are beneath his blessing hands. His eyes are always on us. And our eyes are sometimes on him. Christ is always mindful of his church. And sometimes we are mindful of him. But he's always blessing us with rich gifts. What a rich word of comfort. You know, we can find so much that is wrong in our hearts. So much sin in our hearts. And yet, if we know the disciples, then we know that shortly before his departure, some worshiped him and others, it says, doubted. They were filled with doubts and unbelief. There were those who were doubting if he was even the real Messiah. And yet, he blessed them. He blessed them. Christ knows us. He knows what lives in our hearts. He knows we need him. We can do nothing without him. And he departs, but he didn't leave them there alone. He shows his faithfulness. Christ carries the entire church on his heart, and he blesses his church continually. We see here the spirit in which Christ was parted from them. It is a sign of what he will do and what he still does for his church in heaven. With his hands raised, he ascended. That fully assumes his high priestly office, and that gives us the assurance of what he will continue to do and what he will yet do when he comes again. Christ, as the great high priest, having offered himself, blessed them with his open hands, full hands, ready to dispense grace after grace. He will always care for his church, whether in light or in darkness. You have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there among rebellious people. Have you come to ever to know yourself as a rebellious man, a rebellious woman, a rebellious child? Then we can sometimes think that we must not be children of God. Our sins are so great, too great. But the Word of God shows us Christ departing from his disciples, those disciples, while blessing them. He left them in the act of blessing them. The last thing he did on this earth. Ever think about that? What's the last thing Jesus did on this earth? He blessed his people. He placed them under his hands, and he kept them under his hand. That's his official work, to bless his people. And he does it on the foundation, the grounds of his own merits. He came to earth to bless. He's a full, complete Savior. And as our friend, he returns to his Father. He says, I say to you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more what they can do. Notice what he calls his disciples, my friends. And he will bless his church with temporal and eternal blessings. What does all this mean to you? What does the ascension of Christ mean to you? Are you living out of him, out of his fullness, or are you still living out of your own self? Still trying to somehow make ends meet spiritually. Haven't you found out yet that in you there is nothing but sin and unworthiness and rebellion and enmity against God? But he is willing and able to lead you, to guide you, and to bless you. Those disciples, they were made willing to follow and obey him. And there was a desperate need in their hearts and in our hearts for his blessing. They were always looking to receive something from his hand. You too? Does your heart trust him? Christ's ascension is so meaningful for us who are still in this world. Those same lifted up hands with which he entered into his glory continue to bless his church today. Doesn't your heart long for the blessings of knowing this Christ Jesus as your Savior? Why do we so often live so far away from him? Why is there so much doubt? Why is the power of unbelief often so great in us? Why is that? Why are we seeking for comfort and hope and relief and instruction and light and strength and wisdom anywhere else but in Christ. Here on the Mount of Olives, Christ Jesus stands with his uplifted hands, blessing his church. And that's the Christ we preach to you. And the gospel of the work of Christ continues his work. And Christ continues his work with his people beneath his blessing hands. It came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And his work is not finished. He continues to work. But it's so necessary for us to know this and to meditate on it and to believe it and to trust in him. Let's never forget, his work continues constantly. Everything has its own time. In the fullness of time, he came to this earth. In the fullness of time, he died on the cross. In the fullness of time, at the very moment that his Father had determined and decreed, he was ascended into heaven. And everything that happens in this world comes under the heading of all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. And it comes under the heading of while he blessed them. In a dark and perishing world, all things, all events are in his hands. His hands. Not the government's hand, not the medical community's hand, but his hand. Pandemics come to pass because Christ Jesus holds the world. It's all in his counsel. And it happens while he blessed them. There's those disciples standing together. Jesus gives them instructions and he lifts up his hands and he's carried up into heaven. And that distance between Christ and his disciples became greater and greater. And after some time, they couldn't see him anymore. And what a great and awesome event this is. It's beyond our human understanding. How can a human body depart from earth and enter into heaven? We could somehow think about a soul, a spiritual thing going into a spiritual place, but a human body enter into heaven. A cloud came between them, and then Christ is in heaven. That's the second step of his exaltation. He continues his work. And what are the results? What are the consequences of Christ's ascension? The first consequence is this. Heaven is opened again. See, in paradise, heaven was open. And then we fell. And God closed heaven. And communion with God was broken. And there was no way from our side to fix that. The way was closed. The door is closed, and it's impossible to return to God. When we lived in Iowa, there was an old farmer there, and the first time I preached there, I was just a student in the ministry, and he came up to me afterwards, this crusty old farmer. He said, "You just remember, young man, in paradise, God closed the door. Don't you ever forget it." I didn't really have a reply, but tonight I would have a reply for him. And I would say, on Ascension Day, God opened the door again. And he threw it wide open. It's opened by God the Father. The King of Glory enters in. God the Father says amen to the work of Christ in his life and on the cross. On Ascension Day, the amen of God the Father resounds because of the work of God the Son. All things are now finished. The eternal doors are opened. The broken communion with God is restored again. When Christ died on the cross, the veil of the temple was torn and the mercy seat is available and open. When Christ ascended, open access to the throne of grace is made for us. There were two involved there. God the Father as the supreme judge. And there came Christ with his nail-pierced hands and his life-giving blood. And he enters heaven. And the door is opened. All salvation is the work of God alone. There's nothing to be added from our side. That's such a difficult lesson to learn. It takes a life long. That salvation is from God alone, the triune God. So often, we are not satisfied or we're not trusting Christ's finished work. We want to try to add something to his completed work. But Christ's ascension proves my work is complete. My work is sufficient. Those disciples, they're standing there with their feet on the earth, just like we are. Christ ascended through the opened doors of heaven. And it wasn't because those disciples were praying so fervently. It wasn't because those disciples were sitting there longing for open doors or deserved open doors. It's only because of Christ's obedience and death and resurrection and ascension that heaven's door is opened again. Now, what's now necessary for all of us is to need the Lord Jesus Christ and to know him in the power of his resurrection and his ascension and to become one with him by faith. We need communion with Christ to live out of him. Heaven's door is opened. And our work has always been to slam that door shut. But it's open. God himself opened it. Have you learned that? By the Holy Spirit shedding light on his word and on your heart, that we all do the same thing as Adam. And we flee and we hide from God's presence. And we would never return of ourselves. See, when sin becomes a burden and we see sometimes mountains of enmity against God and we feel that power, and what a burden to know. Because of my sin, heaven's door is closed and the door of hell is opened. Since we are all in Adam and Adam's damnation is ours. And at times we can feel the heavy hand of God upon us justly because of our sins. But then we see and we hear the gospel that the door is open in heaven. Not because of our tears, not because of our desires, not because of our prayers or works or emotions. We can cry deceitful tears. Our hearts have deceitful desires. If it depended on anything from us, heaven would still be closed. But now Christ has come with his blood and he has earned an open heaven's door. And we need to learn to die to our own wisdom, our own strength, our own goodness. As sinners, it remains hopeless and helpless from our side. Maybe someone here tonight is feeling so heartbroken, feeling so helpless, for so long knocking on heaven's door, trying to open it or trying to keep it open. It's not up to you. It is open. Christ's work means there is nothing between you and heaven anymore because Christ has opened the door. And the Father says to the Son, come in, my Son. And the Father satisfied only with the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he can say to us, come to me, sinner. Heaven's door is opened again. That's the first result. Here's another result. The disciples saw it happen. This ascension, and they knew it, and they understood what happened. Christ had told them, and it all happened according to his word. And now, under his blessing hand, they knew we are not alone. Even though he's gone to heaven, we are not alone. They worshiped him. They praised him. They spoke well of him. And their knowledge of the fact that he's the Messiah became more and more clear. All that the Lord told us is true, they said. And now they finally see Jesus as he himself had revealed himself. And all their own opinions are taken away. Shortly before this, they were still mistaken about him. But when Christ departed, they saw him. This is our King. This is our Messiah. And all their darkness is taken away. And they see their mediator, their Christ, their deliverer. They worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. They worshiped him. We heard about worship last Lord's Day. The worship, how God is so worthy of our adoration and of our love and of our service. Well, here they worshiped him. They returned with great joy. This is the only place in the Bible that speaks of the disciples having great joy. They now knew with their minds and with their hearts, and they experienced the power of his blessing. They not only see those hands, they know the comfort of those hands. They not only heard him blessing, they know the blessing of by faith in their hearts. By faith, they embrace this Jesus who departed from them. You know, if there's only a little knowledge, when faith is weak, then the light doesn't shine so brightly in our hearts. But when the Holy Spirit shines light on God's word and Christ's work, then Christ becomes everything. And he becomes all and in all. And I'm willing to be nothing at all. When Christ is in our hearts and we by faith embrace this King with love, then he becomes so great and I become so little. He must increase and I must decrease. That's the life of the church. He had said to his disciples, I will not leave you as orphans in John 14, verse 18. And here we see they worshiped him. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Christ is not there anymore, but he's present through his indwelling Holy Spirit. And they walked in the light of his strength. There was communion with Christ by faith. It's so difficult, isn't it, not to depend on our feelings, but on the words of Christ alone. Here they have this gladness. The veil is removed from their eyes. The darkness is taken away. For so long they've thought of the Lord Jesus as an earthly king. And now that king has passed into heaven and their darkness is taken away. And they stand in the light and they're filled with joy. These days we don't hear so often God's people speaking with joy. Great joy, even. There's very few truly joyful Christians that you meet on a regular basis. Why is that? Why is there so much talk about darkness and barrenness? Why all this focus on circumstances? Why this coldness? Why this fretting about what's all going on in this world? Why? Do we live so far away from the Lord Jesus Christ that he has become a stranger to us? Let's not be obsessing and fretting about the circumstances down here. But let us trust Christ and believe all that he has told us. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Why don't we Hold on to that. Let's be much in the Word of God and see what He will yet do for us. You know, our low level of joy, you know where that comes from? It's from a lack of trust in Christ and knowledge of Christ. Those disciples were afraid many times when Jesus talked about His suffering. He told them over and over, I'm going to Jerusalem and they're going to kill me. And then I'm going to be buried, and 3 days later I will rise again. But it was so dark and so cold for those disciples. Why? Because they didn't believe Jesus. He says to them in Luke 24, verse 25, O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. What were they doing? Looking at themselves, looking at the circumstances. Well, when you're looking always at yourself and at your circumstances, that's the wrong place to be looking. Christ is in heaven. Hear it again. Christ is the ascended King forever. All power is given to Him. And He promises His people, I will always be with you. Why don't we believe that? Christ said it. Who is Christ for you? Are you looking to Him alone for His grace? And maybe you say, but I can't see Him. I can't find Him. It seems so helpless and hopeless to me. Well, then this evening, beloved, we have seen His blessing hands while He ascended. And Christ is always working for the whole church, for every disciple, and for each individual disciple. Yes, for the rebellious also. That's gospel right there. The rebellious also. Yes, for me too then. For the rebellious also. And the result was they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God in the temple. We don't have a temple anymore. We don't have to go to Jerusalem. But the place of worship, that's where they were. Where is that for us? That's right here. The Lord promises to reveal Himself, to show us the open doors of heaven. The gospel of Jesus Christ opens heaven. Also, when it is dark in your heart and it seems impossible to believe anymore, and when you're burdened with sin and unbelief, then it's so good to be where the gospel is preached, where we receive rich gifts for rebellious people, where we proclaim grace for sinners, hope for hopeless cases, because Jesus Christ, the ascended Jesus Christ, is always praying at the right hand of His Father. They were continually in the temple, doing what? Worshiping, praising, and blessing God. What about you? And what about me? No, we can't be here 24/7. But will we be here every opportunity for the worship service? Right now it's all limited and everything is out of whack because of restrictions. But when this place is reopened, will you be continually in the house of God, praising and blessing God whenever the doors are open? We see the blessed results of Christ's ascension. Heaven is opened. That's good news, my friend. Have you fled for refuge to the throne of grace of that opened heaven? Have you come to rest in the finished work of the ascended Lord Jesus Christ? Well, today you too may share in the blessed results of Christ's ascension. Heaven is opened. while we are still on earth. And every once in a while, we get a little foretaste of heaven, of that sweet communion with our Lord in the preaching of the gospel, in the administration of Christ's sacraments of baptism and Lord's Supper, in our meditations on the Word of God. And in heaven, there's never a pandemic preventing public worship. Always worshiping. See the results of Christ's ascension in his disciples. They worshiped him. He blessed them. They worshiped him. That goes together. That's the result of he blessed them. They returned with great joy. They couldn't contain themselves. They were continually in the temple praising and blessing God for the glorious ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ in all its facts and all its results. One final question, then we'll go. Is that the result of Christ's ascension in your heart and mine too? Great joy and worshiping him. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, glorious gospel of the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for it, O Lord. Lord, how amazing is this, that we sinners may have a glimpse of an open heaven this evening, because Christ has ascended on high. He has carried captivity captive. And Lord God, we adore you. Our heart's desire is to worship you and to be filled with great joy, to bring honor and glory and praise and adoration to the Lord Jesus Christ and to him alone. O Lord, remember us in thy covenant mercies. Look upon us through thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we go home from this place, we pray, keep us safe and give us sweet meditations this evening on the great gospel of the ascension of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless our congregation. Oh, Lord, we pray that soon, very soon, we may all be together here again, worshiping the Lord on the Lord's Day. Help us, O Lord, to be patient. Help us to persevere. Bless us as a congregation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.